Get us a working tank again.
Brian checked the Sig Sauer in his belt.
Get hard, people. What we've thought of, so will others. This is a natural place for an ambush.
As weapons were primed, Brian took the tank out of gear and silently rolled down the gentle incline onto the oil-stained concrete apron, easing the craft to a halt between a couple of tractor-trailer combos. The closest was a refrigerator unit, its belly hung with liquid air tanks to chill the cargo. The next was a flatbed fenced with wooden slats. Doc opened the cylinder of his .44 Lamar, making sure the copper nipples for the percussion charges were firmly in place.
For hauling livestock, there appear to be pig bones in there.
Dean's lips moved as he tried to count.
I've never seen so many cars and trucks.
JB stuffed tools into his clothes.
Might even be gas in the storage tanks. Dean, check and see if we have a hose to use as a siphon, will you?
Sure.
The lad went to the center locker and began rooting about.
Found one!
How long?
10-12 yards.
More than enough.
Hilltop is clean.
Christy put aside her binocs.
If there are sentries or snipers, they're too well hidden for me to find.
Mildred swept her vision over the rusting assemblage of vehicles.
Trucks seem okay. Lots of rats, some stingwings, but no sign of inhabitants.
Reluctantly killing the engines, Ryan set the brakes and spun his chair.
That bothers me. One of the first lessons the traitor ever taught me was, anything that seems too good to be true is too good to be true.
Leave? Or hard and fast?
Ryan slung his stire over his shoulder.
As if we were under attack. JB, get the juice and nothing else. No side trips. Our fuel is okay for now. Mildred, help him stay on that goal. Doc and Christy, guard duty. Dean and I will do a fast perimeter rec for any trouble.
Hey?
Magnum in hand, Jack was crouched by the door, his long snowy hair masking his pale features. Resting the stock of his stire on a hip, Ryan stared at the teenager.
How's the arm?
Sheepishly, the teenager flexed his shoulder.
That's why you're on sentry duty. Stay inside no matter what happens out here. You remember the codes?
He took his position at the driver's seat.
Yeah. Roger, Adam, Charles.
Right. Stay sharp.
Dad, can we go over the codes again?
Dean slid on his bulky vest.
All right. When you're on sentry, you stay hidden. Doors locked. Gives us an edge having a secret member of the group.
So if trouble comes, shoot high and we duck.
If any of us calls the sentry Roger, then he gets the hell out and leaves us. Roger means run.
Gotcha.
Adam means let us in, but kill whoever we're with.
Adam is an ambush, check.
Charlie means it's clear.
And if you use his real name?
Ryan stared at his son hard.
That means they broke us, kill everybody, including us, and do a Roger.
The boy nodded.
Let's get moving.
Christy jacked the Ruger for action. She didn't really care for automatics. You had to load and unload the clips every damn night, or else the springs would weaken and they'd jam, usually when you needed them the most, unlike a revolver, which could stay loaded for decades and still function perfectly in combat. But it would do until she got a replacement revolver. Removing his Panga from its sheath on his belt, Ryan tucked the blade into his boot.
Stay alert, people.
Easing open the side hatch, JB and his Uzi waited for something to happen. Cicadas faintly chirped in the weeds. When nothing else occurred, he stepped down and moved aside, the stubby barrel of the submachine gun sweeping for targets. The others closely followed, spreading out so as not to offer a potential sniper a group shot. Doc was the last out. Jack then closed and bolted the door. Ryan crouched low.
Get busy. Hit and get. We'll be back in 10.
Mildred held her .38 caliber Czech target pistol in an expert tournament-style grip.
Understood. 10 and counting.
Moving stealthily through the jumble of trucks, the two cotters disappeared behind an oil tanker, its cylindrical body rusted full of holes. The weeds waved at their passing, then went still. Going to his hands and knees, JB inspected the refrigerator truck next to them.
Hey, beginner's luck. Tranny has no holes. Here's hoping.
Lying flat, he rolled underneath, and there were some metallic bangs and muffled curses.
Shit.
A few seconds later, he rolled out, his face streaked with grease.
Get any?
Doc cradled the Lama in his arms. He and Mildred were standing back to back, just far enough from each other that a dropped net wouldn't get them both. Lessons learned hard were long remembered. J.B. sloshed the canteen with his bleeding hand.
About half a cup. A few more of these, and we're back in business.
Excellent.
Agreeing, J.B. checked under the flatbed.
Dark night! The whole undercarriage is gone on this one.
Mildred looked into the empty engine compartment of a garbage truck.
No engine here at all.
The next one is flat on the ground.
Let's try the bulldog.
They moved on to a Mack cement mixer with an apple tree growing out of its top hole.
I'm on point. Single file, yard spread. Don't shoot unless you have to.
Dean acknowledged, his Mossberg held smartly at quarter arms. Loose grit and windblown gravel on the concrete apron made every step crunch as father and son walked through the collection of wrecks. Dean was fascinated by the sights. It was the exact opposite of the redoubt. Those vehicles had been in perfect shape, deliberately disassembled by mechanics. These were merely rusting hulks abandoned by their owners. Dean had never known there were so many different types of transports in the pre-dark world. He was more used to rebuilt military vehicles, designed strictly for utility. These civilian trucks came in 100 faded colors, some with leather seats, others with silhouettes of women on the mud flaps. And the cars were even more outrageous. Some had fringe, fuzzy cubes hanging from rearview mirrors, or huge birds painted on the hoods. There wasn't a sign of a single weapon mount or armor plating. Cresting a rotting pile of tires, Ryan held up a hand and closed his fingers into a fist. The boy froze. Faintly, they could hear the slapping sounds of flesh on flesh, low laughter, and muffled gasps of pain. Ryan circled his fist and pointed to the left. Running on his toes, Dean went to the wall of the white building, hugging the Mossberg. His father joined him, and they both stole a peek around the corner. There were five of them. Four men clustered around a naked blonde woman. The men were dressed in biker togs, leather jackets, ripped denims, and boots. Each had his fly unzipped and was fully exposed. The sobbing woman was on her hands and knees. Having seen enough, Ryan and Dean pulled out of sight. Estimating the distance as 20 yards, Dean tightened the choke on the Mossberg to the minimum, the soft clicks sounding louder than fireworks in the whispering quiet.
Let's go.
And circle around.
Dean slid a spare shotgun shell into his mouth for a fast reload.
Okay.
No, I mean leave. Go back to the others.
The boy removed the shell.
We don't need any help. We can take them.
Son, we're not going to help her.
Dean stared at his father. Ryan took the boy by the arm and pulled him farther from the corner.
Our first concern is staying alive. After that, fixing the tank and getting out of here. They'll be busy with it for hours, maybe more. Once we're mobile, we can decide to risk returning to shoot them through the blaster ports. Never risk your life for a stranger.
But...
Never.
The discussion finished, Ryan turned to go. Dean started to follow, but unbidden, a picture of the young girl in the redoubt flooded into his mind. The smoking gun at her feet, the torn dress on her skinny body. Red anger filled Dean's vision as he grimly stepped into the clear, raised his shotgun, and fired. The spray of double-aught buck completely removed a biker's head above his leather collar. The other men registered shock as the decapitated corpse thrust his hips one last time, then collapsed on top of the woman.
Fire blast!
Ryan triggered his Steyr twice at the bikers as he joined his son. The SSG-70 boomed louder than Doomsday as the titanic rounds caught a man smack in the chest. Spinning, arms flailing, he collided with the others, and the three went down in a tangle. Shooting with every step, father and son moved fast, and in seconds, the battle was finished.
Damn fool.
Ryan checked the bodies for any sign of life.
We were lucky. 4-2, even with the element of surprise, are terrible odds. Why'd you do it? Why?
Had to.
Dean knelt beside the woman and helped her to stand. She spoke through puffy lips.
The Thank you.
Dean grabbed his shirt off the pile of clothes and offered it to her. The woman gratefully took the garment and weakly pulled it on. The shirt barely covered her loins,